Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm Cliff.
Hello, and I'm Oofsman.
Oofsman?
Yes, that's me.
Is that a German name?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, well.
As I am German.
Well, welcome. Thanks. Should I say, willkommen. Do you remember when Sunderland signed Thomas Helmer and we all got sent a magazine, if you had a season ticket anyway, with the headline on the front cover, Willkommen Herr Helmer, and then never played, and he left.
He played once, and he got taken off. Something like that, wasn't it? I mean, he's a World Cup winner. Bayern Munich legend.
A sweeper.
Not good enough for Sunderland.
Yeah, centre-half par excellence. And I think Peter Reid tried to play him at right back or a right wing back. And he said he couldn't deal with the coaching methods of Sacco in Peter Reid.
Why would he be able to do that? He's used to Franz Beckenbauer.
Will come in here, Helmer. Or I'll be the same about a week later.
Yeah. I know, anyway, I remember that.
Will come in here, Brett.
Will come in.
It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you. Very nice to see you, in fact.
What have you been up to this week?
This week, I've just been watching the Game of Thrones and stuff. And what have I been watching with the wife? Some documentary that we found about serial killers of the 70s.
Okay. Well, that's the golden age, isn't it?
The golden age of serial killers and porn, strangely enough. I don't know why. If the two go hand in hand. They must do.
Or the recreations of the killings in pornographic terms?
It's about five American serial killers, Bundy, the bind, torture, kill guy, the one that turned people into zombies.
That's
a clown.
If they don't know their names, then they're not that successful.
Well, they're the most successful.
They haven't got their names. Bundy's got his name, right? Richard Ramirez, is he one of them?
No, he's not in it. Gacy is the clown one, isn't he?
Yeah, that's him.
I can't remember.
That's the fella.
that's that guy, isn't it? But yeah, it's like the main American guys and stuff like that whose names completely escape us. But I do know their nicknames.
Of course you know their nicknames. Why? That's what nicknames are for. That's good enough.
Well, of course. That's exactly the reason. What you been watching?
What have I been watching? Not much, because I've had an absolutely shocking week. The little one's been ill. We just had a little chat about it before we came on. We'll bore everyone with it, but it's absolutely horrible when you've got a little baby toddler and they're ill and you can't help them and they're crying and they're sick. Yeah. And yeah, it's probably the worst I've ever felt. You know, when people say when you have a kid and, you know, all of you just want to take that pain and you want, you know, they're your main thing and all of that. It's not the first time I've ever felt like that, but it really is probably the strongest I've felt like that in the last few days. Being in A&E, being in the doctors, in and out of clinics and stuff like that, and watching it. Bless her, she's been crying her eyes out and so sad. So yeah, that's been pretty tough. So I haven't watched a lot, to be honest. I did manage to watch, I watched a lot of the Celebrity Master Chef that I was telling you about, where Bez was on it. Sadly, he didn't win, so not that bothered that's about the rest shame. Of it.
Dennis Rader.
Guinness Rader.
Dennis Rader.
okay.
Is the buying torture kill man.
Yes, okay. Well, thanks for that. And I watched that fourth episode of Chernobyl where they make them go on the roof and throw a single rock off the side.
Sure, it's horrible, isn't it?
That's the bleakest one horrible. Yet. They've got that. You've got that kid off Dunkirk wandering around shooting abandoned
shooting
pets.
The dogs.
That's awful. And then you've
that's
got the fellas,
just horrible as well.
The fellas
and you
on
know,
the
you know, he's going to find a puppy.
I mean, what I didn't expect was be a litter of puppies feasting on the dead mother or whatever it was, but. But yeah, and then it's you've just, got that. I mean, it is a great show, but I think this was the bleakest episode yet that I've seen. So there's only one more left. I mean, I'm hoping for a happy ending. Let's find out.
No, there's going to be no happy ending, mate.
Well, we're back. I was just saying that the Ben was okay, but she was ill again. So we had a little break to clean her up and get her back to sleep. So I think she's on the mend. But anyway, what else is going on?
Lesser.
It was my wedding anniversary. Lesser. And, you know, can you guess what material it was? Seven years?
Seven materials?
Just the seventh. So you don't need to run them down like a chart.
Cotton?
I think cotton was two or three.
Was it? I didn't know any of this stuff.
It's wool.
It's wool. Is it? Uh-huh. Right. And wool? Did you provide the good wife some wool? Did she eat it?
I give her a couple of needles and a ball of wool. Make yourself something.
Can you remember at school when some kids, the strange kids, would eat the wool?
Why would they eat wool?
They could have it. It looks like nice to eat, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't one of those strange people. What are you asking me for?
On the subject of materials.
Like soap?
What do you think is your favourite material?
I like silk.
Oh, saucy.
I like the feel of silk in my fingers.
Okay.
That's what I like.
Well, like, is it rubbing between forefinger and thumb?
Yeah, together like that.
Okay.
So two bits of silk.
Two bits of silk.
The forefinger. Yeah. Yeah.
Just one bit folded over.
No, well, could be, feasibly. I just think that's two pieces.
Two taster samples of
don't dare blow me mind by folding things.
I know you're not a fan of folding, but I've introduced it.
Yeah, what's your favourite?
Probably tarmac.
Probably tarmac.
Yeah.
It's a good one, tarmac. I like the smell of it.
That's my favourite material for the smell.
Yeah, it's definitely the best
for the
smell.
For the touch, skin, I think.
Skin? Yeah. Anybody's skin? Or just
material.
That singer?
As long as it's removed from the body, then anybody's skin, yeah.
Right, all right, Buffalo Bill, no bother.
That's about it, really, to be honest. So
about it?
I've done a lot.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, because you told the story of your groin area.
The balls,
week, didn't you?
Getting them checked out.
Yeah, so getting them checked out, yeah. Another thing that you've got to do, which is unfortunate for you. But I had a story from, I'm going to say it a few years back when I was a keen runner. So probably about 7 years ago. Were you aware that I was a keen runner?
I think I remember seeing some things like written about it and on the grapevine.
Yeah, everyone was talking about it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Everyone was around the block.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I was a keen runner. And after about a month. No, you weren't.
Two months,
something like that. You're a liar. I started to pass blood.
Okay, from the willy.
Okay. From the willy, yes, past blood. Where normally there would just be golden urine.
Of course.
It wasn't
lovely,
lovely golden urine.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The darker
it wasn't
the better.
The case. Well, not in this case, because it was pretty dark.
Okay.
So much like you, the wife said, there's something wrong there. You're going to have to go to the doctors. Mm-hmm. So she dragged us off to the doctors. And I went in there, met the doctor and stuff like that, explained everything that was happening. He says, I'll tell you what you've got a hold of there. Two wobbly kidneys.
Oh, is that a technical term? Is it a medical term?
That's what I said. Is that the technical term for it, sir? He said, yes, of course it is. You've got a pair of wobbly kidneys.
Right.
We're going to need to have a look at this.
Of course.
It's serious. You know, mm-hmm. blood from anywhere is serious and stuff. So I, in my mind, was thinking some, you know, magic scan that's mm-hmm. going to see inside us without harming us in any way.
Well, an ultrasound.
Unfortunately. Yes, that's it. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Okay, well. So what
I was dragged to South Shields Hospital, and I can only describe the operation as hobbling.
Okay, you're hobbled by it.
I was hobbled by it. That inserted a camera down the eye of my penis.
Okay. All the way into my bladder.
All the way into my bladder to have a little look around, right? Little search around and stuff like that to see what was going on there. Do you know what was going on there, Cliff?
Was the wobbly kidneys?
Absolutely nothing. No wobbly kidneys. Nothing. It was absolutely awful.
A waste of time.
It was a complete waste of time. It was a lady, okay. Right, who inserted the camera into my penis. How did you get it in there? I mean, I didn't look.
Because I remember the last time I saw your penis, it was incredibly small. So that's already.
Well, exactly. It's quicker getting into the bladder because of my small penis, though, surely. I mean, if I had a whopper, she would have been there for ages.
It's almost inverted, isn't it? So, yeah.
Aye. So, I mean, that was a sad day for Mr. Kanish.
Kanish, wasn't he there?
You know, I mean, me previous superpower of shooting semen at great distances, it ended that day.
Oh, is that really it? That was the end.
I've never been the same. It was the end for us, absolute
what,
end.
And what was the end? So what have you taken that over with? What's your new superpower?
As soon as they did this, right, it stopped. And I was still jogging and stuff like that. It stopped. So all I needed was a camera inserted into my bladder.
Wonder what else they could solve.
I don't know. Well, maybe you should try it. Maybe you should ask for it. You know, while you're sorting out me hernia, could you please insert a camera into the eye of my penis? that's all you need.
Can
to
you
ask.
Just try that first?
You won't be able to shoot semen very far if you can get away with that. You're all right. You don't need to, do you? I do.
I mean, for competitions, obviously, but
got to do that. Right. So yeah, that's my story. Did you like it? Did you like that one?
I'm glad you didn't have the wobbly kidneys, but I did think they would last a bit longer than being told you had them, and then it turned out you didn't have them. But you know, I guess that's
immediately
good in the long run. I suppose that's all right.
Did you see that Ofcom have produced a list of offensive words that people aren't allowed to say on the television anymore?
Do you want to tell us what they are?
I've got a couple. The first one is Karen.
No, fuck off.
Karen?
What
Karen? So nobody. What if you're called Karen?
Not allowed. Not allowed on the telly.
You're not allowed on the telly? That's terrible for all Karens of the world, isn't it? Out. Yeah, they will. Gammon?
What about you're on Ready Steady Cook and somebody's gone for a lovely gammon steak?
Exactly. What if Ainsley goes, what are you cooking today, Jeff? Why I'm cooking the gammon? With a bit of pineapple on the top. What do you see?
Sorry for the choice language there, ladies and gentlemen.
How dare you, Jeff? Remove yourself. Do you think that they'd all have to put the tomatoes up at him?
Yeah.
As he goes. Boo. Everybody hold your tomatoes up. That's what they say.
Any more?
Ramona, Snowflake, and Boomer. You're not allowed to say that anymore.
It's fucking stupid, that.
It is fucking stupid, isn't it? Who are Ofcom anyway? Who are these people, you know, who decide what words
they're probably in
say?
The next office along with the taxpayers' alliance.
I would imagine so.
Mysterious entity that don't actually exist.
The Taxpayers Alliance. Well, right, so that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. So we're talking about it's my choice this week.
It is your choice.
I'm holding up an album cover. Here it is.
Oh, very nice. You've got it.
Yeah, I've got it. It's Neil Young's 1974 album, On the Beach, which this is actually my mum's record. I stole it. There was a period of time when this wasn't available. He didn't bring it out. So he basically brought out a few albums in the early 1970s.
Uh-huh.
Time Fades Away. And then this, On the Beach, that he found them too difficult, or they were recorded in a period of distress, and he decided not to re-release them. They were released at the time, but when all CDs and all of that came out, he just said, we'll just leave them ones. I don't really like them that much. So I read about it.
2003 or something like that was written this week.
Yeah, yeah. So I read about it, and I realized that my mom had it. So I listened to it. And I went to, you know, Hot Rats, the record shop in Sunderland.
Yeah.
And I said, how much is this worth?
Right.
I didn't want to sell it. He had a bootleg CD of it. So he had a CD. So I bought the CD. And on the end of the CD was some live tracks from the time. And I said,
How much is it worth?
It was about 60 quid or something. Not massive. But then he brought it out about a year later. He did actually re-release it on CD and stuff. And I think there's a new record version of it now as well from a couple of years ago. Record Store Day or something like that. So it had this kind of mystique when I was getting into Neil Young, and I felt like a little bit privileged to have the record of it when you couldn't really get it on
CD.
Nobody
else had it.
And again, it's before the time of Spotify and all of that. So it was like, oh, I've listened to this album and I was fascinated by it. And that hasn't changed over the years. And I know you're not as kind of big a Neil Young fan as me. You haven't got all the albums and all of that. But I don't know whether you ever heard it before.
No, I haven't heard this one before, but I'm glad I've listened to it. I've listened to it twice, actually, which is good. Shows how much I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had his first solo album. I like that one. I like
it's
his
like
first
a patent
one
on the front.
It's just like a self-titled one. But again, that one wasn't really successful or anything like that.
No,
much like
he's
this
kind
one,
of disowned
it?
That one as well. Like, you don't really get, he doesn't really play many songs from it. And obviously, he's got hundreds of songs to play now. But yeah, it's kind of before he found his
weird
true
that,
voice, I think, that one.
Disowns his own songs, doesn't he?
Yeah, and albums lot, and all of that, yeah.
I'm not doing that ever again.
He's a... I think cantankerous is the nicest word to use for him, but I think he's just a bit of a fucking pain in the arse, and like he can be a bit of a dick about his own stuff and all of that.
So you heard it
for the first time this week. What did you think?
I did. I thought it was excellent. I prefer the second side to the first.
Okay.
Because I think the last two songs are absolute genius.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all good though. But it's different to what you would have normally, I think, imagine Neil Young songs to be like. I think, especially like the second track, isn't it? Which is like "See a Sky About to Rain."
Yeah, I think that's the thing with Neil Young is like you have an idea of what Neil Young songs are and what they sound like, and I think Neil Young doesn't want you to ever feel like that. I think that's his thing.
Doesn't want to be middle of the road, does he?
He doesn't want you to go, classic Neil Young. What he wants you to go is, fucking hell, that Neil Young song, totally different to that one, totally different to that one. And I think he's done that throughout his career. It's like well written about and well talked about that he hops around from side to side. But I love this so much so that I've got about four album covers on the wall in my house, and this is one of them. I've taken it out to have a closer look at it now. It's just an album I love. I think it's my favorite of his albums, probably followed by Zuma, which came out a couple of years later, or the next year, when he's kind of out of his Ditch trilogy, to call these three.
Yeah,
the first one, Time Fades Away, this one, On the Beach, and then the third one was Tonight's Tonight, which actually came out, albeit later than they recorded it. And then after that, he made Zuma, which I absolutely love as well, but maybe we'll talk about that a different day.
Is that because Cortez the Killer's on that one?
Well, that's my favourite Neil Young song, I think. So, yeah, that's probably the main reason why I like it, but a couple other ones as well. But, yeah, I love this. What do you think of the cover?
I haven't inspected it closely or anything like that. To be perfectly honest with you, I haven't had a good look at it. But why is it called On the Beach? Because he's like having a holiday and he's...
Well, he went...
Is that why it's called?
He was in California when he recorded it and he didn't normally live in California, I think. So I guess he was in the at a seaside place. And I think the kind of pace of it and the feel of it's quite laid back, like as if you are chilling on a beach. However, I don't think the songs are relaxing. They feel relaxing, but I don't think the lyrics are anywhere near that.
No, they're not. Has that got anything to do with the sauteed marijuana and honey that they were consuming while making this album?
That's the
honey slides.
Honey slides more potent than heroin, apparently.
Apparently so.
I read about that today. I'd never heard of that before. They're just totally laid back on that, aren't they? Catatonic, they said. So yeah, the cover is essentially him in the distance facing the sea. He's got his shoes off. On a beach with a Cadillac kind of buried in the sand. It's very distant, the cover, you know, it doesn't give a lot away. And I think that's kind of what the album's like. It's like this kind of laid back feel, but it's almost accepting that, like he's looking in the distance. You know, if you think about the times you've stood on the top of a cliff or a hill or at a beach and just stared in the distance, it's normally because you're contemplating something or, you know, you're just taking in what's around you. And I think this album is very much, that's the feel of it. He's
like self-reflection type.
Yeah, it's very self-reflection, but not just on him. I think on society and or the era that he's living in and the celebrity kind of era that and the crowd he's hanging around with. He's quite down on everything, I think, aren't it?
It's very melancholy, isn't it, and stuff. And there's definitely songs in there that are quite down, I think, for sure. I mean, the oil magnet one and stuff like that.
There's three.
He does quite a few environmental kind of stuff, though, doesn't he, Neil Young?
Yeah, and he always has throughout his career, I think. Not always that successfully, but there's three songs on the album that are called Something Blues. So I think that kind of shows like where his mind's at. The first song, Walk On, I first heard that on that Decade album that we've talked about before, the best of that we both got into. And I think that sets you up for a bit of a false idea about what's coming after, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Well, if you're worried how the album's going to go after the jovial Walk On, then the next one certainly brings you back down to earth, doesn't it? Where it's going to go type thing. It's like a mood setter, the second one. But I like Walk On, it's good. Bit of old Brown Shoe.
Yeah, like a nice riff, like a nice guitar riff. And it's jaunty, it's jovial, like you say. And it has a full band feel to it, which a lot of the other songs don't. A lot of the rest of them sound like he's kind of, even though there's other musicians on there, he's kind of on his own in like a dark room or something. But yeah, I've always liked that song. And I think when I first got this album, that was one I loved, but over time, it's okay. I like it, but it's not my favourite on the album by any stretch.
No, it's not mine either. It's a nice song though, isn't it? But it's certainly, it's like opening, like everything's great and stuff like that. But then it goes downhill straight away, doesn't it?
Straight away, if I see the sky about to rain, which I've got to admit is not one of my favourites because it's just so
No, it's not mine
down.
Either. It really is. It really is. I mean, like I say, it's a mood setter for the rest, but this is probably the most down of all the songs, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what I like about this album is it goes like kind of loud, quiet, loud, quiet, loud, quiet, and for the beginning, but anyway. And I think probably one of the most controversial songs in his catalogue is next, Revolution Blues.
Yes,
I love it.
Charlie Manson.
I love it.
You do?
Yeah,
but it's got David Cosby on there as well, playing guitar and stuff, hasn't it? But yeah, it's a strange story, this one. So he met Charles Manson in like, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that when he was like a player or whatever, didn't he? And he quite liked them, didn't he? He quite liked these songs and stuff. I liked how he could just like make up lyrics on the fly.
Yeah.
I like that kind of thing about him. And then obviously, after everything that happened with the family and stuff like that, he he wrote this song afterwards, didn't he? Kind of not sort of having a go at him or anything like that, is he?
Not really. He's kind of inhabiting. Brett, I'm going to have to go. I think I'm going to throw up. Right. Well, we're picking this back up after last week when we had to abandon it because I pretty much hoed up on the laptop.
Week's debacle.
It was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it? I did, to my credit, as Brett said, I did try and come back and finish it off. But considering I was throwing up for the best part of 36 hours, it would have been a very long process to finish the podcast, I think. So,
Brett, it would have been frustrating for me, if nothing else.
Quite frustrating, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously you were ill, but frustrating for me, which would have been much worse.
So we're going to, I know where we were talking about the album, and I know mm-hmm. we're in the third song, Revolution Blues, but I don't know what happened before that. I just know that was the point we stopped.
You're very good. I'd say that for you.
All right. Excellent.
My recollection is that you are quite good.
Okay.
So there.
Well, thank you very much. Let's see. Will it mm-hmm. drop off for the second half will of it the drop podcast? Off?
Exactly. Are you better off ill?
Am I better off ill? Or am I better off on water and tired? Who knows?
No beer for you this week.
So today
you
I don't want to
be ill if you couldn't drink, mate. That's when you know you're ill.
Yeah. Let's jump back in. We were talking about the third song on Neil Young's mm-hmm. On the Beach, which is Revolution Blues, where he inhabits the character of Charles Manson and talks about murdering people. So
it's a good song. It's a good song, isn't it? But I don't think the fans at the time took to it. I mean, it was probably too soon.
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about basically the lyrics to the song are essentially about being in the family and what mm-hmm. like the grisly things he's getting up to. But it's also just a bit of a he's having a bit of a go at his peers as well, I think.
From what I've read, the reason for that is Neil Young always thought that, you know, Charles Manson was quite decent on the guitar. He said that he was all over the place and he would just make up lyrics on the fly type thing.
Okay.
But it always sort of, you know, go, that would always sort of make sense or whatever. But like he said, he was the only person that would have the guts to come out and say that he was decent. Right, do you know what I mean? So after like obviously the murders happened and stuff, it was a case of everybody probably rightly just like trying to, you know, distance themselves from him or from any contact they've had with him and stuff like that. But he wasn't like that, Neil Young, was he?
No. But I think he's having a bit of a go at these other musicians as well. Like he's setting himself, not for the first time in his career, he's setting himself apart as a bit of an outsider. You know, he's plowing mm-hmm. a lone furrow. He's the only one who'll say stuff like that. He's the only one that'll write mm-hmm. lyrics like this. Well, the next one, For the Turnstiles. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I like this one. I like For the Turnstiles. It's good. It's a bit of baseball in there, obviously, with Turnstile stuff, I think, isn't it? But also about some activist or someone who was standing for prostitutes' rights at the time.
What's he getting involved in all this for?
I know. It was because she was charging $10 to get in to one of our conventions or whatever, which at the time was like astronomical.
Okay.
I mean, he's kicking off about that.
I didn't know that. I didn't. It's a song I definitely prefer either he's more radio friendly, kind of folky ones, with the odd exception, or the real, like, kind of loud rocker
distorted
ones. So this one's kind of one of the ones that I would never seek it out. You know, if it come on Spotify or whatever, I might skip past it. But I don't dislike it, but I didn't know that about mm-hmm. it because I've never really looked into it that much. But
Margot St. James, she was called.
Okay.
She's dead now.
Okay.
But he obviously had a bee in his bonnet about that, didn't he? The fact that she's, you know, an activist for prostitutes' rights or whatever. But at the same time, making money off doing that. It's like, you know, a bit of two-faced kind of stuff going on, which obviously he's took resentment against, hasn't he? That's where the song's come from.
So after that, we've got another one of the blues songs in Vampire Blues. What do you think of this one?
I really like this one, actually. I really like Vampire Blues.
Yeah, this is one of my favourites on the album. I think.
It's about an oil magnet, isn't it, destroying the planet just for money regain, stuff like that. I'm the vampire, babe, sucking blood from the earth. Great.
Yeah, it's like a very loose, bluesy number. Like, it's one of the things that Neil Young's good at is, he gets his band to play. And I think normally because they always sound like they've had one too many beers or they've been one too many talks on a spliff or something. And they're just a little bit out of time. It relaxes. Like, the songs are very loose. And I think this is a very loose feel to it as a bluesy
like
number.
Space to breathe in his songs, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing I think he's good at, I think he's the king of distortion, me. Like, his distorted guitars are unbelievable, aren't they?
Have you heard the album? It's called Linois or
Linois. No.
So it's called that. I think it's produced by Daniel Lanois, which is a kind of pun on the name of the thing. It came out about, I'm going to say 10 years ago, but it's recent, but not the last couple of years. It's just him and his electric guitar, his old black, his electric guitar that he plays. It's just him and electric guitar singing, and there's no other instrumentation. And it's like just loads of feedback and distortion and stuff like that. Whereas normally, you know, you would have a singer-songwriter, just him and an acoustic guitar. He's playing his electric and his solos and all kinds of stuff, but no other instruments at all. So if you do like all of that,
I like all that stuff.
You like that one because I know
I do.
Like, Dead Man's your favorite soundtrack.
Well, it's brilliant, Dead Man. I mean, it's guitars sound like trains and stuff like that. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, it's a western, but it's really heavy, like, you know, that type of music. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I don't think it's on Spotify or whatever. I try to find it, and because I haven't heard it in a good while. But it's not on there. But it's a good film as well.
I haven't listened to it for a long time. Yeah, I haven't watched the film for a long time, and I haven't heard any of those songs for a long time. Not that they're songs, really, but, you know.
It's all instrumentals, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the end of the first half, isn't it? That's the first side, if you're listening on a normal record.
Short, isn't it?
It's
short,
very short.
Album, really.
It is very short. I hadn't realised until I started looking at, like, the track listing with the song, like, length next to it. It's, what is that, like, four songs? About 4 minutes or something?
Cliff, excuse me. Cliff, can I interrupt you? Because it's obviously the first half.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt you just to acknowledge the demise of certain South Shields pubs? Is that all right with you?
Bit of an interjection. So it's a half-time topic. What the hell is that?
The West Park, Stanhope Road. Now we're Sainsbury's. Top of the corner, 100% pure orange juice, £1.50. The Mariner, Mortimer Road. Now a Co-op. £7 Super Saver Indian meal. Too hot to miss. Thank you.
Is that it? Just the two?
That's it.
Just the two.
Well, I thought I'll keep a few, like, in the back pocket in case that was
okay. Well, I'll tell you what,
popular segment. There you have it.
Okay, have well, it. We thanks for that.
The second side.
The
now.
Second side of Neil Young's On the Beach starts with the song On the Beach. I think it's a masterpiece. Again, like you say, the space to let these songs breathe and not be afraid that it's taken a long time for this song to do anything. I think it's great.
Definitely. It's all about, like, his success and stuff like that, and how guilty he feels about being successful and stuff, doesn't he?
Any lyrics or anything? I know you are very much a lyrics man. Anything stand
out?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I like the start of it where he's saying like the world's turned away. I hope it doesn't turn away from me or something like that. Yeah. That's pretty good to start with, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but he's great lyricist. But the thing I was thinking about earlier is like, you know, when people talk about like guitar heroes and stuff like that, I guess like a guitar hero is somebody that you'd like to play the guitar like.
Yeah.
Neil Young's definitely one of them, like, isn't he? He's
no
different.
One plays a guitar like him.
He's different to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, his distortion and stuff's unbelievable. And he creates sounds on his guitar that how's he doing that?
I think the thing is he plays solos, right? But they don't have a melody. Like if you listen to like the huge long outros on Like a Hurricane or whatever, it sounds like he's firing like lasers at things. Like it's just and he can create this noise, like the like you say, and the distortion and the feedback, and you can feel like it feels like it's swirling around your head and you know, taking over the entire venue. That time I've only seen him once, but the entire arena felt like there was just guitar noises coming at you from everywhere.
I'd love to see him live. Like,
I mean, he's kind of.
Have you seen him live, Cliff?
Once, yeah. It was, to be honest, it was like me Nana had just died, and I had about 4 tickets for gigs in the week coming after that. And Neil Young was one of them, and it was the only time like I would have got to see him or whatever. So I went. So I wasn't in the right frame of mind, but it was great to see him with Crazy Horse. It was great to see him, but I mean, he was on for about 2 hours and I can't remember all of it, but I mean, it feels like he played about 4 songs. Like, this all lasted for ages. He did do Powderfinger off Rust Never Sleeps, which is one of my favorite songs. So like, if nothing else, I've seen him do that song live, and that was good. So
yeah,
I was happy with that.
It's a strange time now when you're grieving or whatever. I remember when my uncle died, and I went on holiday the day after his funeral, and it was awful. It was one of the worst weeks of my life.
Yeah,
being on holiday. Do you know what I mean? I didn't really know a lot of the people who I was with, and they probably just thought I was a right cunt. Do you know what I mean? I was right because I was just a miserable bastard. I was just a I probably was a right cunt.
Well, you try and get almost to fight. There's nothing you can do really when somebody dies, no matter how close you are to them or whatever. Just try and get almost stuff, but it's probably.
But you think you're all right, and then you're just obviously not, are you? Do you know that's
yeah,
the
yeah exactly.
Thing
like
about
you think you're all right. I mean, what's going to happen? Whether I'm sad in the house or I'm sad out the house, or. You know, but then, yeah, thinking about it, when you look back on stuff like that, you kind of realize you probably with a clearer mind, you would have done stuff a bit differently.
Definitely.
That's grief, ladies and gentlemen. And
yes, it's grief for you.
A couple of deaths. So the next one is, you love this next song, right?
I do. It's amazing. Absolutely class. It's the highlight of the album for me, the next two songs.
Okay.
And this one's Motion Pictures. Yeah, it's about his wife or his girlfriend at the time, Carrie Snodgrass, who was an Easy Rider and Pale Rider. And she was also the top pick to play Adrian in Rocky, which we'll probably do in a couple of weeks, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
But she turned it down. But apparently she was like it was a destructive relationship. They were all on drugs and drink or whatever.
Yeah.
But Snodgrass was like screwing around on him. But he was also screwing around on her. And when he found out, it kind of like destroyed him and stuff like that. And he was kind of wrestling with the fact, well, so am I. I'm doing it as well or whatever. But it still kind of destroyed their relationship. And he said it's about his subconscious sort of telling them that that's what was happening, even though he didn't know at the time that he wrote the song.
It's kind of quite opaque. It's not in your face about one thing or the other. And I think that's something Neil Young is very good at. And then you know, fast forward 20 years and he brings out Harvest Moon. And that song, Harvest Moon, is like one of the most straight up romantic songs ever. And the video of that song, which is proper MTV fare. Like it's a proper MTV video. He's the people he's playing in a bar, and he's also looking at his younger versions of himself coming into the bar and dancing with his girlfriend at the time and stuff like that. And you think, well, you are really nostalgic and you are really romantic, and you've just wrote this perfect 3-minute kind of country love song. But then you'll bring out an album like Dead Man after that, where it's just distortion.
It's completely different. I think you hit the nail on the head with them there about like this being subtle in the songs and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
We come to the closing song on the album, which is Ambulance Blues, 9 minutes. And what a song this is. What a song.
It's class. Again, like I said, the last two are my favourites. And this is just, I've listened to this album 3 times now because of the delay that we've had and stuff like that, which is a good thing. I'm glad that I've listened to it 3 times. And there's like little bits in this song where it just like, it catches us off guard.
Yeah.
There's little, it's very difficult to explain because it's a very acoustic song, but there's like a little bit of distortion in the middle, and it just, it catches us off guard every time I've listened to it. It's amazing, this.
I think it's fantastic. And I think you've got the kind of the fiddle in this as well, haven't you, which takes it into a bit more of a kind of country style again. I just love that, you know, again, it's a song about, do you have to resign yourself to just what the shit that happens in your life, or the bad people that you come across, or you want you've always wanted to be a successful musician and now you're not sure whether you're a nice person because of it, or you really want it and all that kind of stuff.
I think a lot of it's about his past and stuff like that as well, isn't it? Like, and this one, like the old folky days and all that kind of stuff that he's singing about. And all the, you know, he's talking about, because he's Canadian, right? Talking about like Toronto and stuff, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's got that, you're all just pissing in the wind line, which is
pissing in the wind bit's great.
Yeah.
And I love that bit.
Again, like, that's the thing. His songs are really obtuse and subtle, like you say. But then who else would have that line in a song? Like, that just cuts it to the bone. Like, all of a sudden you've got this line going,
You're all just pissing in the line. Yeah, I love it. It's absolutely, and it's 9 minutes long. It doesn't seem like 9 minutes long. It's a really mellow.
It just keeps going, and it's nice. And even though it's not a happy song, it just, you get into it, and it's like a nice feeling. I think when you're part of the world, I think it's got a quite encompassing feel to it, where you're almost like, especially if you listen to headphones on.
If you put it on, you're in there, aren't you?
You're up in it.
Definitely.
And again, I love that bit. Isabella bit, that I just love his melody on that is just nice. And you know, he's putting a lot out there, I think, with this song.
I agree completely. I love this one. I mean, if I had to say, I think it's probably my favorite of the whole album. And would I have listened to this song if you hadn't have suggested this album? Probably not.
I think from his second album up to about 1982 is just fantastic. And I would say Bob Dylan's the same, like pretty much everything up until the early 80s, and then it gets a bit patchy, but there's still some great stuff there as well, and there's still some great stuff with Neil Young. What I would say with Neil Young is he brings an album, he seems to bring an album out every fucking 6 months or something now, and it's been, they can't all be that good, you know. Like, I've just stopped. I would like get them all when they came out, and then it's just impossible. I couldn't keep up.
Is he still doing that? Is he?
I think he's, the last couple of years he seems to have slowed down because he's bringing out this Archives Part 2, which he's been working on, like bringing out some of the old live albums and stuff like that. So the new stuff's kind of taken a back seat. He's got that one in Jack White's record shop where he recorded it in a phone booth or something. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, where do you start? There's one called Chrome Dreams 2, which came out in 2007, which is...
Is that by Jean-Michel Jarre?
Yeah. It's got loads of songs, or some songs on these fabled songs that gone down a legend that never came out, like these 15-minute like guitar solos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Chrome, there isn't a Chrome Dreams one, but there is a bootleg called Chrome Dreams, which was what this album was meant to be, apparently in 1976 or something. And that bootleg, if you can get it, which I'm sure people can, that is absolutely superb. Like, that's an album that never came out, and somebody's obviously gone, well, here are these demos, here's this outtake, etc., and build it. That is really, really good. Like, but I suppose you're getting into kind of nerdy territory at that point.
Well, I'll listen to them. I definitely will, because he's at the top of the list for sure.
Listen to that album. It's very good.
Yeah, Brett, listen to it. It's great.
I wanted to ask you something.
Go on then. Is it a personal question?
Yeah. Does Lisa know how to work the telly in your house?
Of course she doesn't. And the reason that she doesn't know how to work the television is because she's never in control of the television. That is definitely my job. Well, I will say, if anybody wants to include the demises of their local pubs, I'm happy to acknowledge them.
Yeah, okay, yes, send us in your local pubs that have closed down. And let us know what they've turned into, if they have indeed turned into anything.
Got any special offers?
And for a bonus point, are there any special offers?
Right, I do have a quiz somewhere, Cliff. Okay. I don't know where it is, but I've got one somewhere. Let's see where
find it amongst your piles of notes.
So, yes, this is Terrible Man of the Match Awards. Okay. Number one, Saeed Benrahma was given a copy of what for being Man of the Match for Brentford? What do you think the answer is?
Is it a copy DVD of Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, it's very close. It's a copy of Crash Bandicoot for the PlayStation 4. What? And I doubt very much I'm going to get this name right, but there you go. What was Mohammadi Sundowns player Hipmolo Mandali given in South Africa?
For winning, you got Man of the Match and you got a little
prize. It's all Man of the Match. Man of the Match. That's the name of the quiz.
Fucking hell, you didn't need to jump down my throat with that one. It's called Man of the Match.
Man of the Match Awards.
What was he given?
Yeah.
A chicken.
Ooh. I've scribbled out one of the answers, a question, and someone was awarded a chicken, a live chicken.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This man.
It's not this man. Okay. He was awarded 5 gigabytes of data.
Did it have an expiration date on it? To be used by the last day of this month.
Yeah, probably. And exactly.
The excess cannot be carried over.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs> that's a wonderful award, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
Aberdeen player Stephen Glass, who also played for the Mags, I think, didn't he?
Did, yeah, for a little bit, yeah. Classic left footer, I think.
I think he was awarded what for being Man of the Match in the Scottish League Cup final?
Do we know when this was? A while ago, I suppose.
1997, I think, at a guess. I'm sure me relatives who are Aberdeen fans will tell us otherwise.
So he was Man of the Match, was he?
He was Man of the Match in the final. A prestigious Scottish Cup.
Okay.
And if you were Man of the Match, you wouldn't expect a wonderful prize, wouldn't you?
I think you got a 6-pack of Tennent's.
Unfortunately, it was a lowly bicycle that he was awarded on the pitch. And he had to sit on it.
Okay.
And get people to take pictures of him.
Fantastic.
So there you go. Martin Odegaard, who now plays for Arsenal.
Yes.
Was given a prize of what for being Player of the Month for Real Sociedad? Bit different this one, not Man of the Match, Player of the Month.
So when you shot down my throat when I said, is he Man of the Match? Actually, you were incorrect.
Change now, man.
Okay, what was he given? Player of the Month, and he's in Sociedad, very gastronomic area of Spain. I'm going to say he was given a lovely leg of ham on.
Unfortunately, it was just a massive fish. Female winners of a squash club tournament were given what for being successful?
A little box of makeup.
Little box of makeup. You've been very nice with that. It was a Durex vibrator, a Veet spa wax, and a foot file.
Oh, all you need for a lovely afternoon.
Of course.
What a lass is like.
Yeah, you know, shocking, eh? What, and this is the last one you'll be glad to know.
Okay,
what
were
Carlisle United players recently given immediately after the match when they won a man of the match?
Yeah, they got like it was a chicken coma, wasn't it?
It was a takeaway curry. Steaming hot.
The guy's face when he's been given it as well. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Brett, that's probably the best quiz you've ever done. I loved it.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we've got some music, which is from a guy called Ollie Winder.
Ollie Winder, yes. He's class, Ollie Winder. I listened to his album recently. It's called The Last of the English Romantics. And it's very, very good.
It's about you, isn't it?
Yes, it is definitely about me. But yeah, he's really good. He's really talented. And he sent us a song called Candy Floss Girl.
But yes, enjoy Ollie Winder's Candy Floss Girl as we say goodbye. Brett, have you watched Vigil? Vigil.
No, but I've been on one. Is that the same?
Yeah, it is. That's what it's about. It's a documentary about yours. Very good. I would recommend it. I presume it's all on the iPlayer now because it's just finished.
Well, my suggestion is a film called Free Guy, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Is it good? Is it? I could be avoiding.
Really good. Nah, don't avoid it. Welcome it into your heart.
Okay, I will. I've also just seen that there's a new Paul Schrader film called The Card Counter or something like that with.
Yeah, I think I've read about that.
With Oscar Isaac and Willem Dafoe. That is probably going to be fantastic, so I'm going to might try and watch that this weekend. But anyway, let's get back to the music and Ollie Winder and
Candy Floss Girl, man. That's what it is. Yeah, Ollie Winder, Candy Floss Girl. Check it out. It's good.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully, we haven't lost all of our audience because we had a week off. See you later. Have a good week, everyone, and we'll speak to you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
All things nice, smells so sweet like sugar spice. I think it's time for me to take over the world, and heaven knows. You're my candy floss girl. Oh, you are my world. Wrote this song for you, for everything that you do. Yeah, and you bring my sun down on everyone. Blow my blues away. Stars that shine down over me and you. I think it's time for me to take over the world, and heaven knows you're my candy floss girl. Oh, you are my world. Song for you, for everything that you do. Yeah, when you bring the sun down on everyone. Oh, why can't you see? doing to me? Oh, candy floss girl, oh, you are my world. Roll this song for you, for everything that you do. Garen, you bring the sun down on everyone. Blow my blues away, need you to stay forever and a day.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.